Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2. Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. And there's a new chapter. I'll read the summary here. Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. As described in this chapter, after the annihilation of Hiranyaksha, Hiranyaksha's sons and his brother Hiranyakashipu were very much aggrieved. Hiranyakashipu reacted very sinfully by trying to diminish the religious activities of people in general. However, he instructed his nephews about a history just to diminish their aggrievement. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as a boar and killed Hiranyakashipu's brother, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu was very much aggrieved. In anger, he accused the Supreme Personality of Godhead of being partial to his devotees and derided the Lord's appearance as Varaha to kill his brother. He began to agitate all the demons and Rakshasas and disturb the ritualistic ceremonies of the peaceful sages and other inhabitants of earth. Who wanted a performance of yajna, sacrifice, the demigods began wandering unseen on earth. After finishing the ritualistic funeral ceremonies of his brother, Hiranyakashipu began speaking to his nephews, quoting from the Shastras about the truth of life. To pacify them, he spoke as follows, "My dear nephews, for heroes to die before the enemy is glorious. According to their different fruitive activities, living entities come together within this material world and are again separated by the laws of nature. We should always know, however, that the spirit soul, which is different from the body, is eternal, inadjustable, pure, all-pervading, and aware of everything. When bound by the material energy, the soul takes birth in higher or lower species of life, according to varying association, and this way receives various types of bodies in which to suffer or enjoy. One's affliction by the conditions of material existence is the cause of happiness and distress. There are no other causes, and one should not be aggrieved upon seeing the superficial actions of karma." Hiranyakashipu then related a historical incident concerning a king, Suyagya, who resided in the country named Ushinara. When the king was killed, his queens, overwhelmed with grief, received instructions which Hiranyakashipu quoted to his nephews. Hiranyakashipu related an account of a Kalinga bird pierced by an arrow of a hunter while lamenting for his wife, who had also been shot by the same hunter. By narrating these stories, Hiranyakashipu pacified his nephews and other relatives and relieved them of lamentation. Thus, having been pacified, Diti and Rushabhanu, Hiranyakashipu's mother and sister-in-law, engaged their minds in spiritual understanding. Text 1. Shri Narada Vacha. It's not so difficult. Let's try that again. Just give it a little extra effort. Shri Narada Vacha. Bratarieva vinihate harina krodha murtina Hiranyakashipu rajan paryatapya rusha sucha. We're going to
go over a number of verses here. So,
Shri Narada Muni said, "My dear King Yudhisthira, when Lord Vishnu, in the form of Varaha, the boar, killed Hiranyaksha's brother, Hiranyakashipu, was extremely angry and began to lament." Purport. Yudhisthira had inquired from Narada Muni why Hiranyakashipu was so envious for his own son, Prahlad. Narada Muni began to narrate this story by explaining how Hiranyakashipu had become a staunch enemy of Lord Vishnu. Text 2. Filled with rage and biting his lips, Hiranyakashipu gazed at the sky with eyes that blazed in anger, making the whole sky smoky. Thus he began to speak. Prabhupada, as usual, the demon is envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and inimical toward him. These were Hiranyakashipu's external bodily features as he considered how to kill Lord Vishnu and devastate his kingdom, Vaikuntha Loka. Pretty ambitious. Exhibiting his terrible teeth, fierce glance, and frowning eyebrows, terrible to see, he took up his weapon, a trident, and thus began speaking to his associates, the assembled demons. O Danavas, O Daityas, O Dvimurda, Triaksha, Shambara, and Shatubahu, O Harigriva, Namuchi, Paka, and Ujvala, O Viprachiti, Puloman, Shakuna, and other demons, all of you kindly hear me attentively and then act according to my words without delay. Text 6. My insignificant enemies, the demigods, have combined to kill my dear and obedient well-wisher, my brother Hiranyaksha. Although the Supreme Lord Vishnu is always equal to both of us, namely the demigods and the demons, this time being devoutly worshipped by the demigods, is taking their side and help them to kill Hiranyaksha. There's a little note here from Govindvara. It says, both the demons and demigods understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be the Supreme Master, but the demigods follow the Master, whereas the demons defy him. Thus, the demigods and demons are compared to two co-wives of one husband. Each wife is the Sapatni, co-wife of the other, and therefore the word Sapatni is used here. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Samaham Sarabhuteshu, the Lord is equal to all living entities. But since the demigods and demons are both living entities, how is it possible that the Lord is partial to one class of living beings and opposed to another? Actually, it is not possible for the Lord to be partial. Nonetheless, since the demigods, the devotees, always strictly follow the Supreme Lord's orders, because of sincerity, they are victorious over the demons, who know that the Supreme Lord is Vishnu, but do not follow his instructions. Because of constantly remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, the demons generally obtain Sayuja Mukti after death. The demon Hiranyakashipu accused the Lord of being partial because the demigods worshipped him, but in fact, like the government, it is not partial. Is not partial at all. The government is not partial to any citizen, but if a citizen is law-abiding, he receives abundant opportunities from the state laws to live peacefully and fulfill his real interests. This point of Krishna being equal to everyone is important. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that, let's see, how does it go? Sarabhutani Kuntiya Murtiya. Sarabhutani Kuntiya Prakritim Yanti Mamikam Kapasheya Punastani Kapado Vishrijam Yaham. O son of Kunti, at the end of the millennium, all material manifestations enter into my nature. At the beginning of another millennium, my potency, I create them again. Prakritim Swam Avashtavya Vishvijami Punak Punak Putagramam imam kritsnam avasham prakritir avashat. The whole cosmic order is under me. Under my will, it is automatically manifested again and again. Under my will, is annihilated at the end. So just imagine if people knew that God creates this universe, just like we're in this present universe, he's created it. And then at a certain time, he just destroys the whole thing. What would people think of him? Imagine you bring someone to life and then at a certain time you just kill them off. But Krishna doesn't do it for a few people. He does it for unlimited living entities. He brings them, they all get enthusiastic, we're going to have a good time. They party for a while and then he blows the whole thing up into little atoms. Puts them all to sleep for billions of years, trillions of years, and wakes them up to try to do the same thing again. So you may wonder, what is the character of such a person? Not one, he creates everything, and this little child, suddenly he gets blown up. Not even one tear. Krishna is completely neutral to the whole thing. Not only one little baby, but billions and trillions and quadrillions of little babies all over the universes suddenly get blown up. And Krishna couldn't care less. And this is the person they worship. Just like they had a court case in America, and they were accusing the devotees not only of brainwashing, but of also the cause of death for one of the devotees, her father's cause of death, because she left home and joined the Hare Krishna movement at a young age, and her father became very disturbed and died of a heart attack. So they were suing the devotees for millions and tens of millions of dollars. So to prove the point how cruel the devotees are, they brought in a picture of Hiranyakashipu and Lord Nrisimhadev. Lord Nrisimhadev is bifurcating Hiranyakashipu, his blood everywhere on his fingernails, on his garland, on his mane. And Hiranyakashipu's on, you know, lying outstretched, his intestines are being pulled out of his body. And then on the side, there's Prahlad Maharaj on his tiptoes trying to offer Lord Nrisimhadev a garland, beautiful garland. So the lawyer was asking one of the devotees, so who is this? Pointing to Lord Nrisimhadev and said, oh, this is Lord Nrisimhadev. And who is this? Oh, this is Hiranyakashipu. And who is this? This is Prahlad. So who is Nrisimhadev anyhow? Is he God? And who is this boy that this man, this God, your God, Nrisimhadev, he's offering the killer of his father a garland? So what kind of God is this? He's killing this poor boy, his father, and the boy is so brainwashed that he's all actually offering a garland to the killer of his father. They actually won, I think, $32 million. Who is later on reduced to a couple of million dollars. Such as law in America sometimes. In any case, people have the conception, oh, who is this God? He's killing this boy, poor boy's father, and his followers are so bewildered and brainwashed they even offer the killer a garland. Of course, they didn't tell the whole story. In any case, how is it that God is creating universes, unlimited universes, allowing people to act out, trying to make advancement, trying to do good? Some people are trying to do good. People are trying to go, you know, help others. And yet, without any feeling at all, he just annihilates everything. And then brings them all back again to go through the same thing all over again. Spend 311 trillion years trying to make some progress and just get wiped out all again, start from zero, start all over again. Of course, they bring their previous karma, but some people would rather not bring the previous karma with them to the next creation. So what is Krishna's explanation? And chamam tani karmani nivananti dananjaya udasinadvarasino asaktam teshu karmasu. That all this work, O Dhananjaya, all this work cannot buy me. I'm ever detached, seated as though neutral. In other words, Krishna is like the judge. Someone comes before the judge and gives him a huge amount of money, and someone else comes before the judge and the judge condemns the person to death. Now, the judge is supposed to be impartial. It's not that he looks at one person and says, I don't like your face, I think I'm going to condemn you to death. The next person comes, you know, you have a nice face, I think I'll give you $10 billion. No, it's according to the activities of the persons who come before the judge that they get a particular judgment. Similarly, Krishna is neutral to everyone, but he reciprocates according to their activities and their consciousness. And even Krishna does not personally make any judgments, but he says, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Surite Sacharacharam Hetuna Nenakuntiya Jagati Parivartite. That this material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction, producing all moving and non-moving beings, and by its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So, not only Krishna doesn't directly act in the material world, although, as super soul, he has to tell the material nature what living entities are doing, so that the laws of material nature can be properly applied to every soul. But the law is already set up. Now, if you don't like the law, too bad. You can complain, you can protest, but the law is made by God, and God, he's not going to change the law just because people don't like it. If one objectively examines the laws of material nature, one will find out that they're perfect. Everyone gets exactly what they deserve, and exactly what, according to what they, well, they get what they desire according to what they deserve. But there's a limitation to what the material nature is all about. It's simply a combination and permutations of the energies of earth, water, fire, and air, and ether, which means a little different from what we conceive of energy, but like earth is solid energy, and the energy that's solid to some degree is classified as earth. Water is energy that keeps everything together, either gross or subtly. Similarly, fire transforms things from one to another, gross or subtly. And air gets things moving, gross or subtly. And ether is the containment from which gross and subtle things are contained within. And that's it. That's the whole realm of experience for the conditioned souls, different varieties of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And then there's the energies like Krishna says, Mahabhutana Hankaro, Buddhavyakta Evacha, Indriyaitan, Disaikamcha, Pancha Chandriya Gochara. There's also Dvesha, there's also attachment, aversion, there's varieties of subtle energies that can afflict one, there's the three modes, but that's the realm of activities. And according to our desires and activities, then we go from one experience of material nature to the next. Sadvana Rupa Sarvasha Sharabhavati Bharata Sharoma Yo Yo Purusho Yo Yatschara Seva Saha. According to one's existence, under the three modes of material nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. And according to one's activities under that faith, one will get another variety of the modes of material nature to act under. So we're in the material nature, we're conditioned by it. We have a certain conception, and we're going to act, and according to that activity, we're going to get a result, and that activity, that result, will give us another sphere of activities, another mentality to act under, another impulse, and that goes on eternally, simply trying to enjoy the three modes, sad, asad, yoni, janmasu. Sometimes meeting with good, and sometimes meeting with not so good, or really bad. But Krishna has nothing to do with it. Well, he has something to do with it. He sets it up, and everyone gets a free ride. They can do whatever they want. He could, you know, it's a playground. You can be on the monkey bars, or you can be on the swing, or you can be on whatever you want to do. You can play around here, but that's your limitation. That's all there is. And if you expect something more, then you'll be disappointed. And if you think you're having a good time, then you won't be disappointed. But this is the playground Krishna has given us, and it has rules. You can't break the rules. You got to follow the rules. And sometimes, if you hit the jackpot, you're in the heavenly planets. And if you bet on the wrong horse, you go broke, and they take everything away from you. But since we want to play, that's what we've gotten ourselves into. We can't change the law. We can't change the rules. We can't change how the persons who are governing us, ultimately. We can't change the three modes. We can do nothing but play or decide we have enough playing here. I think we'll go to a better situation where we don't have to keep on revolving in the 8,400,000 species of life. Better to go back to Godhead. But obviously, Hiranyakashipu and his followers, that's not their intention. They just don't like the rules. They don't like the rule giver. They don't like the rules. And they're protesting. But as most protests, they have no result. He just lets off a lot of steam. And obviously has a lot of steam because he made everything smoky. But that's all he got. Of course, he got personal association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead also, we'll find out, because he didn't play the game properly. He had the best opportunity in the material world. He became practically eternal. He got a body that could withstand the thunderbolts of Lord Indra. He got all material opulence. He was controlling the demigods. Everything was favorable, but because he was envious of God and his devotees, he developed an acute stomach problem, and then he died. So we may think we're controllers, we have so many things going for us, but ultimately, mrityu sarvaharastraham, it'll all be taken away. And if one is not a devotee of Krishna, then one is simply wasting his time here. Just going from one uncomfortable material situation, trying to make it a little bit more comfortable, and then having to change all over again, and having to get the reactions for all our attempts at making things comfortable. And then doing this eternally. So we're all eternal, but right now we're eternally in hell. So that's not very good. It's good to be eternal. It's not to be eternally. To be eternally in hell is not so good. But if we take advantage of this human form of life, of this association, and try to take shelter of Krishna, then the result is we can make progress. And as we make progress, then gradually our association with these three modes and the material nature will gradually diminish, and then we'll be relieved of all the distress that they're causing us. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
It's often difficult to come to terms, to accept that devotees lose. Like if we lost that court case, and philosophically we may understand, but what if we are playing on Krishna's side, why do we lose sometimes?
Well, you can't lose if you're on Krishna's side. Devotees never lose. First of all, the devotees know that they have nothing. It all belongs to Krishna. So if everything belongs to Krishna, how can they lose anything? Krishna doesn't lose because everything always belongs to him. And even if you gain something, you can't gain anything because it's still Krishna's. So, yasya anugrahami karishye tadanai shunai. Krishna takes things away to teach the devotees so they can make spiritual advancement. So when they get things taken away from them, they take shelter of Krishna, that's their gain. And when they get too many things and they forget Krishna, that's their loss. It's like Prabhupada gives the example, when you have so many, you have a million zeros, they're zero. But if you put a one in front of it, then it becomes a big number. But if you take the one away, then you get a lot of zeros. So Krishna, when he sees we've taken the one away, then he takes all the zeros away, and then we lament. We come back to taking shelter of the one, Krishna. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.